Okay, this is part two of Mark Fickler, and I've done my best to separate my words from his, but it's a little awkward sometimes, and when you hear a long pause, that usually means I'm switching over to his words or to my words. So, because David knew, Mark goes on, that the Lord was always with him, he determined in his spirit to see that truth with the eyes of his heart as he went through life, knowing that this would keep his faith strong. We say a picture is worth a thousand words. I believe that is because pictures are the language of the heart. We notice that Jesus used pictures constantly as he taught. When I use pictures in my prayer time, fixing my eyes on Jesus, I am beginning to speak the language of my heart, and that moves me quickly into the heart and spirit realities, getting me beyond my mind. Okay, so my perception here, you've got your rational intellectual mind, and you've got your intuitive heart mind, so to speak. What he's just saying here is that he shifts into that hemisphere, the heart hemisphere of his mind. And I call that using a godly sanctified imagination. Because the Lord gave us imagination. He gave it to us to use for holy purposes. The enemy uses it for unholy purposes. But that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means he's manipulating it and using it against God's will. He continues here and he says, so I chose to do what King David did, and I develop a godly imagination, which I define as picturing things God says are so. So Mark pictures them that way. Okay, so the Lord says that something is this way. He pictures things as that way. He continues, obviously, if I am picturing that Jesus is not with me, that would be picturing a lie. I can't imagine any reason I would want to picture unscriptural things. So I see Jesus at my right hand always. I add to this Paul's prayer for God to enlighten the eyes of my heart, Ephesians 1:17. Then I tune to the flow of the Holy Spirit, and he brings the scene alive. I find I can step from these godly imaginations into a divine vision. Now, this is what we've also been trying to teach you. If you have a picture, or if you are in a place where you visualize the last time you were with the Lord, for instance, it's usually on the dance floor for me, I visualize that place again, and the Lord is always there. So I reach out to him in the vision. In the imagination, sanctified imagination, I reach out to him and he responds by taking over the vision. And I believe I did a video on this not too terribly long ago, but you make the overture, you move into that direction, you move into that focus, and then the Lord takes over from there. It's amazing, he continues to say, and simple and childlike. Of course, it would need to be. As we were told to enter the kingdom, we must become as little children. My six-year-old granddaughter can do this, and she shares with me her journaling and the visions of angels standing on both sides of her, protecting her and watching over her. You'll find that young children can do these four keys more easily than you can. Try it with them and you'll see. He continues, from Genesis to Revelation, God gave dreams and visions, and he specifically said that in the last days, he would pour out his spirit, and we would see dreams and visions. We must look if we want to see. Daniel saw a vision in his mind and said, I was looking, I kept looking, and kept looking. That's Daniel 7. So I needed to repent for not looking. And begin presenting the eyes of my heart to the Lord. Okay, as an aside here, I think this is a place where a lot of us have gotten stuck in unbelief. We're going to need to jump this hurdle, ask the Lord for wisdom and confidence to jump this hurdle because we need to present the eyes of our hearts to the Lord in a vision and allow him to take over. Mark continues, as I pray, I look for Jesus and I watch and listen as he speaks to me, doing and saying the things that are on his heart. Many Christians will find that if they will only look, they will see flowing pictures in the same way they receive flowing thoughts. Okay, so this is a beautiful concept that I wanted to share with you. So when we talk about the Lord's voice, we're talking about perceiving flowing thoughts drifting through our mind. And we can tell the source of those thoughts by their character. If they stir up fear and anxiety, then they're from the evil ones. But if they stir up peace and wisdom and good fruits, then they're from the Lord. In the same way, we have your streaming visions. We'll see flowing pictures instead of flowing thoughts. And they will be flowing pictures that are good and that are holy and that bring us into the presence of the Lord. Like, say, for instance, one night I was praying and I saw clouds and I saw angels holding a dance floor in the heavens. And then I saw myself dancing with Jesus on that dance floor in the heavens. Now, that's something I never would have thought of. So it's more likely when you think of things that are that outrageous that it's really coming from God and not yourself, because it's not something in the ordinary course of things that you'd be thinking about. So we're going to see flowing pictures. And those flowing pictures are an invitation for us to enter into the vision with the Lord. Just as the flowing thoughts are an invitation to enter into a conversation with the Lord and listen to him. Jesus is Emmanuel, he says, God with us. It's as simple as that. You can see Christ present with you because Christ is present with you. In fact, I would add to that, he lives within us. He has made his dwelling place inside of us. And Mark continues, in fact, the vision may come so easily that you'll be tempted to reject it, thinking, oh, that's just me. It's just my own thought. But if you persist in recording these flowing pictures, your doubt will soon be overcome by faith, as you recognize that the content of these pictures could only be birthed by God. Just like that vision of the dance floor and the angels holding it up. And other people have had visions like that too. So you give it a chance. You let those flowing pictures go on and you give them a chance. And I want to share with you here that when I'm listening for the Lord's voice many times, he'll begin speaking to me. And I usually discern before I allow myself to listen. But sometimes I don't. But even when I do and I listen, I know it's him. I feel such opposition sometimes, such like a spirit of unbelief comes over me and I have to fight it to listen to the Lord's words. But I have to fight it the entire time he's speaking to me. Then when I'm done and I go back and read the words, they're so heavenly, all my doubt evaporates. So I think what's happening at that point is I'm getting opposition when I listen to him. So don't be surprised if you feel awkward and you feel like, oh, that couldn't be God, or, you know, what am I doing this for? It must be the enemy. You know, give him a chance. Give him a chance with the visions and give him a chance with the flowing thoughts and flowing pictures. So even though the vision comes so easily, don't be tempted to reject it thinking that it's just you. Give it a chance. Mark continues, persist in recording these flowing pictures. Your doubt will soon be overcome by faith as you recognize the content. He goes on to talk about a lifestyle. Jesus demonstrated the ability of living in constant contact with God, declaring that he did nothing on his own initiative, but only what he saw the Father doing and heard the Father saying. That's in John 5. Is it possible for you to live out of divine initiative as Jesus did? Yes, it's called abiding in Christ. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. The veil has been torn, giving access into the immediate presence of God, and he calls you to draw near. He cites here Luke 23 and Hebrews 10. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened and you will see his visions. They are his gift to you, freely given. Acts 2:17. And here I want to add, it's a matter of faith and believing. The veil has been torn. The Lord has made the way for us to be able to see and hear him. So when people go back to the Old Testament and start saying, well, you know, God wouldn't speak to you. God doesn't speak to people. Well, that was the Old Testament, more of the Old Testament thinking. But when Jesus died, he tore that veil down the middle, giving us all access to the Holy of Holies. And you can remind them of that. Well, this is New Testament. This is what the Lord did for us. He opened heaven and made it possible to be able to commune with God. Here Mark continues. Now, the next key is journaling, the writing out of your prayers and God's answers. It brings great freedom in hearing God's voice. Now, this is true. I did a lot of journaling. In fact, I still journal, except this time I type on the computer. But yeah, from the very beginning, I would write down my thoughts and feelings, and I would listen for his voice, and he would answer me. And I could tell that they were his answers because they brought me peace. If they brought jealousy or fear or anything like that, I was so confused as a new believer. I didn't know how to recognize the enemy. It took me years to figure that one out.
Here Mark continues.
God told Habakkuk to record the vision, Habakkuk 2:2. This was not an isolated command. The scriptures record many examples of individuals' prayers and God's replies. The Psalms, many of the prophets, Revelation. And, you know, many people who've gone to heaven come back and tell about all the books in heaven, the libraries filled with journals of events on earth. So this, again, is a scriptural thing. And he calls this process two-way journaling. I found it to be a fabulous catalyst for clearly discerning God's inner spontaneous flow, because as I journal, I'm able to write in faith for long periods of time, simply believing it is God. You know, some people will get just one word and they'll feel good about that. Now, other people will get long sentences, paragraphs, and books, you know. And the two-way journaling is a good way to cultivate the longer messages. It's a very good way to cultivate it. So then he says, I know what I believe I've received from God must be tested. However, testing involves doubt, and doubt blocks divine communication. Oh boy, is that true. So I do not want to test while I'm trying to receive. With journaling, I can receive in faith, knowing that when the flow has ended, I can test and examine it carefully, making sure that it lines up with Scripture. Okay, so here's one point where we differ. I try to test the spirits before I start writing. And here he allows himself to receive, and then he tests it later. Now, that's up to you, what you want to do. And I test it by using the Bible promises. If I get Holy Spirit, then when I go to the Bible promises, if I open to that chapter, then I know that the Lord is with me and it is indeed his thoughts, his stream of thoughts that I'm picking up on.
Here Mark continues.
Remove doubt. Doubt may hinder you at first, but throw it off, reminding yourself that recording God's words and visions is a biblical concept and that God is present, speaking to his children. In the Bible, Satan is constantly casting doubt by saying, "Did God really tell you that?" Okay, so for all of our naysayers, did God really tell you that, Claire? Or for myself, you know, God, is that really you speaking to me? He goes on to say, learn to relax. When we cease our labors and enter into his rest, God is free to flow. Sit back comfortably, take out your pen and paper or computer, and turn your attention toward the Lord in praise and worship, seeking his face. That's exactly what I do every day when I come before the Lord to receive a message for you. It's exactly what I do. Write down, "Good morning, Lord, I love you. What would you like to say to me?" And then become still and quiet, fixing your gaze on Jesus. You will suddenly have a very good thought. Don't doubt it. Simply write it down. Later, as you read over your journaling, you'll be blessed to discover that the content is amazing and that you're indeed dialoguing with God. Absolutely. I have experienced that so many times. In fact, I'll tell Ezekiel, "Honey, I'm just writing this down. I'm having a heck of a time believing it's the Lord, but I'm not going to stop. I'll write the whole thing down, and then when I go back to check it out, it's beautiful. It's absolutely divine in origin. I don't know what it is that causes me to have those scruples when I'm doing it, but later on, I see exactly that it is the Lord." Okay, so that's journaling. Now, hear God through illumined scripture. Now, this is where we talked about Ramas before. Knowing God through the Bible is a vital foundation to hearing his voice in your heart. So you must have a solid commitment to knowing and obeying God's written word. We are commanded to meditate on scriptures, Joshua 1:8. As we pray over scripture, we find verses leap off the page and hit us between the eyes. That's the Rhema word, the illuminated word of God for us. This is another very powerful way that God speaks to us. And that's what I've been trying to teach you with the Bible Promises, is to read those two pages and enter into rest with the Lord. And whatever really pops off the page, that's where God's focus is in that moment. And then he talks about it's very important for your growth and safety that you be related to solid spiritual counselors. All major directional moves that come through journaling should be confirmed by your counselors before you act upon them. I agree with him very much. Trying to find those counselors can be quite a job and be very disheartening, though, I have to say. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact is to be established. Well, that's why we go to the Bible Promises sometimes two and three times to get a second and third witness that only Holy Spirit has access to. That's about all that he has to say, except that we guarantee that if you will use these four keys together, they will work for you and you will hear God's voice. Try them as a bundle and see how they work for you. And what he talks about here is he absolutely gives 100% guarantee on his college courses, his CDs, his DVDs, his MP3s, anything you buy from him, he guarantees that you will hear from the Lord. You will learn to hear from the Lord, or you can get a full refund. Oh my goodness. So, he's quite sure of himself in this because he's experienced this with thousands of people. They have on five continents, I think he said they've got people all over the world that have instituted these programs, and they're hearing from the Lord clearly. So as I began this conversation, I told you, if you're on this channel and you're telling me that you never hear from the Lord, you're probably on the wrong channel, because he's going to make sure that you hear from him. So the Lord bless you tonight, and I will leave this PDF on our website. And it's a PDF from Mark Vickler's Communion with God Ministries. And you can follow up there. He's got books and CDs and tapes and YouTubes and everything. So I highly recommend that you listen to this man, that he can help you to get established in your communication with the Lord. The Lord bless you all, and may the Lord open your eyes and your ears to his presence in your life.